Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hi, everybody. Harry Carey here. We've got a great show lined up for you.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I once took a pair of binoculars and stared at the sun for over an hour.
Why would you do that?
Curiosity, I guess. Heck, I'm curious like a cat. I have a couple of friends that call me Whiskers.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
Hey, now, kid, we all know that the moon is not made of green cheese.
Yes, that's true, Harry.
But what if it were made of barbecue spare ribs? Would you eat it then?
And Brendan Sprague.
I know I would. Heck, I'd have seconds. And then polish it off with a tall, cool Budweiser.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in hour number two. Trying to order a breakfast burrito here. Burrito time this morning. Dirt's taking a crap all over it. Doesn't want anything to do with one. He's nervous. I am nervous.
My fear from 6 to 9 a.m. every day is having to poop my pants, and I don't want to have to poop my pants in the next 2 hours. So I can't drink coffee as much anymore.
Really?
A spicy breakfast burrito. Like, if you were ordering this thing at 8:35, 8:40, then I'm in. But I don't want to let it sit around for an hour, and then it's not going to be quite as good. It doesn't quite have the same punch. So I'm out.
All right. Well, Swag's going to run and get coffee, so he'll be gone for this segment. That'll be great for us. But
hopefully nothing goes wrong in the next 10 minutes.
He'd just be over there getting a coffee.
Are we going to get yelled at about being over the clock because we can't go to break until he gets back from getting a coffee?
I mean, Dirt and I have talked about this behind the scenes. Like, we go a little late on a clock, and then the update has to go 2 minutes.
Yeah, let's shorten that bad boy up. Hey, did you know Oklahoma City won last night? Are you aware of this? I was shocked when I found that out.
Put it on your calendar if you haven't already. Tuesday, June 24th, your local Toyota dealers presents the 11th Annual Fan Golf Classic out at Langdon Farms Golf Club.
Whoa. Holy catfish!
It's also brought to you by Henderson & Daughter Windows & Doors and Philbrook Law Accident and Injury Lawyers. And once again, we've got the morning. I believe we still have the afternoon. We got Victor Rico. Speaking of breakfast burritos, delicious.
Damn it, Jimmy!
They will be on hand for breakfast and lunch. And then Matt's Barbecue will be out there as well, catering the post-round meals. You can go to 1080thefan.com, click on the Fan Golf Classic logo, and purchase your foursome. We hope to
see you
out.
There's no turds here.
At a Langdon Farms Golf Club. No turds.
No turds here.
Langdon Farms.
No turds at all.
Turds, though, were happening in Game 1 of the NBA Western Conference playoff picture. Started off fairly positive. Wolves were up early. It looked and felt like Game 7.
Kind of did. Ugly. Not a lot of shots being made. Minnesota made their first, five buckets in the night. It was like immediately 10 to nothing. And then you look up and you're like, wait a minute, why is it tied 29-29? They kind of missed their chance to have a stranglehold on it.
Minnesota was up in the third quarter. They were up actually two at the midway point. And much like Game 7, everybody acted like that was a 30-point blowout the whole way. It wasn't.
No.
But that's what the Thunder do, is what they did in the third quarter. It was a 2-point game, and then you look up, and it's like 14-point lead Thunder. At that point, the game is over. The Thunder blow out the Timberwolves 114-88.
Yeah, look, it was not a great start to the conference finals. It wasn't a blowout from start to finish. I wasn't necessarily surprised with the way the game began. Oklahoma City looked a little tight, a little uncomfortable. Minnesota was in the conference finals last year. But something that you and Swag hit on yesterday, I thought, ended up rearing its ugly head. Like, with how bad Oklahoma City played at times in the first half, that was an opportunity for Minnesota to have a 10 to 15 point lead at the break. Like, it felt like they were the better team throughout the entirety of the first half. They just turned the ball over a ton and gave OKC some easy buckets, and that allowed them to stick around, and then the Thunder took over in the second half. You hate to have duds when the conference finals begin, and that game was essentially over with 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. It felt like you hung around just to see if Minnesota could do anything, but you didn't really have that sincere feeling that there was going to be a comeback there. I don't watch a lot of regular season NBA basketball. You know this. That's why the NBA dirt thing was funny, and I picked against Oklahoma City and was almost correct in the second round. I have come to the full realization, and I almost want to publicly apologize for it taking this long, but this is the problem when I don't watch a lot of regular season NBA basketball. I am so out on SGA. I can't do it. I don't enjoy watching him play. It's not entertaining to me. He flops. He gets the benefit of the whistle that seemingly nobody else does in these moments. Like, he had so many buckets last night, or attempted buckets, where you get like Doris Burke. How does he even get that shot off? It's like, well, he seeked out the contact. There wasn't hardly any contact, and then he just fell over. So he shouldn't have had to have fallen to the ground to get that shot up, but he did because that's what he does. And then he gets to the foul line. He had 31 points on 27 shots because he got to the free throw line 14 times last night. Like, there's a lot of James Harden in it. James Harden at least was an elite shooter from time to time from the three-point line. So there was another element of his game.
He got 9 assists.
I'm not saying he's a bad basketball player. I'm not saying he's terrible.
You're out on it, huh?
Terms of the aesthetics of watching it, I don't enjoy that at all. And I found myself last night, I already don't like them for so many different reasons. For one, they stole a team. Two, you get the graphic that when was the last time these teams won an NBA championship? And for OKC, it says 1978. No, you didn't. You didn't have a team in 1978, so get the hell out of here with that nonsense. We have to pretend as if this is some diehard NBA city when all they've known is Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, Paul George, like elite players. Oh, you had two down years, but you got gifted an MVP in one of the worst trades we've seen in the last 10 years in the NBA. Like, I can't stand the organization. I hate their colors. I hate their fans. I hate their city. I hate everything about them. Wow. And now the MVP of the league is going to be some foul hunting, flopping Canadian. Get the hell out of here. I was pissed last night. End of rant.
I don't think I have anything to follow that up with. Here's
like, as a basketball guy, do you agree with me? You're a basketball guy. I'm not a basketball guy. You guys are basketball guys.
Yeah.
It's not fun to watch. Well, I'm not saying them as a team. I'm saying what he does, that has to drive you nuts, doesn't it?
Last night, I would say last night, more so than maybe some of the others. I'll go look at his game logs, but
yeah, for free throws.
Last night felt like the regular season officiating.
In
of
that
him.
Third quarter, it got bad, man. Yeah. It was bad.
Look, he does initiate the contact. There is contact, but his sell of flop, flail. Yeah, I mean, look, I totally get why people would say it. I don't know if I'd be out on SGA. He might lead him to a championship.
I'm not saying he's a bad player. From an entertainment standpoint, I don't enjoy watching it.
I totally get what you're saying. Mike Malone is setting the internet on fire because dare he say, this is why he showed he's the MVP. And it's like, oh, it's a shot of Jokic.
Oh!
And I'm like, I think it's just he's saying this why he's the MVP.
By the way, 14 free throws was his playoff for this year's high. Yeah. That was the highest he's had.
Well, remember, we talked about this in the Memphis series. We talked a lot, a little bit about during the Denver is what he did there in the regular season wasn't happening during the playoffs. He wasn't getting that whistle, and now he's getting that whistle. I think they are going to make the change for game two because I think the NBA is hypersensitive to commentary, and I think a lot of people are with you of just like, I don't want to watch a guy flop and flail his way to 14 free throw attempts in a game. He had 31 points on 27 shots.
Yeah, it's not very efficient.
Take away the 11 free throws, he had 20 points on 27 shots.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's not good basketball.
He did not have a good night shooting the basketball.
He's usually a pretty efficient player, but he does rely on free throws. It's a part of the game. So the refs have to not fall as much for it. There was a scene in the postgame where Ann Edwards and Julius Randle were seen kind of pointing at a box score and then chuckling in the first question. And I didn't hear what they were looking and chuckling at because I watched the whole postgame presser and they didn't say it. I would imagine it was the free throws. Like, if I'm them, I'm like, of course, this dude gets the line 14 times.
And part of this is Minnesota's fault. They didn't attack as much. I think Oklahoma City's defense is to credit for that. They just seemingly were jacking up a lot of threes in the second half of that game and kind of got lazy offensively.
Well, Minnesota shot, what did they shoot total? 51 threes?
Yeah, I mean, that's their fault.
51 and shoot like 29% from three and expect to win that game.
I don't want to take the credit away from Oklahoma City and the defense that they played and the team that they are and the depth that they have. They can come at you in waves, and that's incredibly impressive. It's just about the entertainment value of watching that.
Agree.
That it's not aesthetically pleasing for me.
The Thunder defense was extraordinary in that game. They really clamped down after a slow start. I'm very curious of Minnesota's adjustments.
Yeah.
For game two. And Edwards, it's funny how this worked out. I talked about the turnover problem for Minnesota and how it can kind of, you know, rear its ugly head. Minnesota has 17 turnovers last night. All right. You go and you look at the way that they played.
What was it, 31-10 points off turnover? 31-10 was the number. Yes. That's a big difference.
Steals were massive advantage for Thunder, right? Free throws attempts were more in their favor. And Edwards, we talked about this on the show, just seemingly has a game every series where he does nothing.
Yeah. Not overly aggressive.
He scored 0 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
He was more just all, he had 18 total points. Almost all that came in the first half. He did this against the Lakers. He did this in game one against the Warriors. Just a weird, out of sorts, not aggressive Ant Edwards. And that's what you get. Randall was extraordinary last night for them. Though, again, he did a lot of his damage in the first half. I think he had 20 first half points of his 28. I want to see the adjustment. Rudy Gobert played 21 minutes. And I know he's not the most offensively gifted player. But I think they need him, and I think that they need to make an adjustment of playing him more because they need to do something to tweak into that Thunder defense. And so I'll be interested to watch the game two adjustments. Here's Ant Edwards in the postgame on just improving his offense for game two.
I definitely got to shoot more. I only took 13 shots, but I'll say probably just get off the ball a little more, play without the ball. I think that'd be the answer because – playing on the ball, they're just going to double and sit in the gaps all day. So, got to go watch some film and pick it apart. We'll figure it out.
Now, I'm not going to sit here and gloat or say anything. I'm just curious your thoughts. It is just game one.
Yeah.
Where is this series headed now? We've seen a game.
Yeah.
Has this changed anything for you of how you think the series goes?
I mean, Oklahoma City's a better team, so on that, my opinion is not changing there. We know that they're deeper. We know that they're more talented, and the regular season proved that. I'm not saying anything definitive about them winning it, though. I do think there's an element of their game at times where their role players can disappear. They had home cooking in the second half. And Minnesota, for, you know, when you look at some of the numbers from their guys who they rely on to be contributors for them, like Naz Reid was 1 of 11, dude. And he missed 7 threes, 0 of 7 from 3. Now, he's not the best three-point shooter in the world, but he's a guy who's been relatively reliable for them off the bench. He was horrendous. DiVincenzo is a guy who's been a good player for them off the bench this year. He had a horrific shooting night. There was a possession, I want to say, in the third quarter when the game was still up for grabs. How many times in the NBA do you see a relatively good shooter get multiple looks on the same possession from the same spot, and how many times does the second one go down?
Mm-hmm.
And that happened to Conley last night. He had a corner three, missed it, ball rattles around, they get the offensive rebound, kick it right back to him standing in the exact same spot with nobody around him, and he misses it again.
So Conley's had a miserable playoff.
He's had a bad playoff.
He's a super old dude, and it's showing.
Sure, there's a part of it that I just think some of it is, too, not having a great shooting night. You can't take that many threes. It's similar to Boston and kind of what we said about them early against New York. I think they need to force the issue a little bit more and attack a little bit more. And now the strategy for them has to be the public perception battle, and we've seen the greats do this over the years where your entire rant, every time you talk to the media for the next 2 days, has to be about how egregious it is, the foul calls that SGA is getting. And you set that tone in the media, you set that tone publicly, you bring it up over and over and over and over again, because then to your point from earlier, you get a course correction from the NBA in game two, where all of a sudden he's not getting the benefit of that whistle, you're attacking downhill, you're getting to the free throw line, and you can flip that. So the turnovers will continue to be a problem for them, and Oklahoma City's the better defensive team, but I think they can shoot it better, and I think there will be a course correction on SGA foul calls in game two.
You just can't have Reed, DiVincenzo, and Alexander Walker combined go 5 of 28 from 3.
No.
You will lose every game by blowout fashion.
No, you cannot have that.
We'll see what happens in game two with adjustments. We'll get into the Knicks-Pacers series. That kicks off, or that tips off, I should say, tonight. Pretty excited for the 90s throwback session.
In the Garden.
In the Garden. We got Halliburton in the Garden. Looking forward to that. We got Sam Monson at the bottom of the hour, so we'll talk NFL with him. And then we'll get into that Knicks-Pacers series we speak of. We got Stouter Story to get into. But coming up next, Blazed Nuggies on The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
All right, we'll talk to Sam Monson coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll get to Stouter Story at 8:15, the Knicks-Pacers game one. Maybe we got baseball stuff on the docket.
I got some baseball stuff in my notes today.
We got an angry friend of the show about another friend of the show.
We do. What has gone wrong here?
I don't know, and I don't think anybody has an answer.
I don't watch it that closely if it's not my team, so I was a little alarmed when I saw the numbers. I didn't realize it was quite that bad.
When there's a manager fired, it usually indicates something awful is happening.
Something wrong.
Yesterday, I had some Blazer news.
Oh, what happened with the Blazers yesterday? Did we sell? Who bought the team? Jeff Bezos.
Nobody's
bought the team. Are we going to Mars? Are we playing games in Mars?
Bezos and Lauren Sanchez just walking around courtside at the Moda.
Can his ex-wife buy us, actually? Is she down for sports?
Mackenzie Scott is her name, I believe. I don't know.
She seems pretty badass. She's giving away all of her money. Why doesn't she give it away to us?
Be nice.
Yeah, you know, that'd be kind of cool.
I don't think she cares about sports at all.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Damn it.
And all the money she gives away, she just makes more of it. So she does. Like, she never really loses it.
No. Can she buy our WNBA? Well, we already have owners.
We already have
the
owner group, yeah. Okay, is the WNBA owner group going to be our new owners?
Ooh.
Orem was kind of like hinting at maybe they're very interested.
Give a wink, wink, nod, nod.
We also
double dip the chip.
Don't have a lot of evidence. Those pockets are very deep.
It's a bit of a different thing to buy a WNBA team and an NBA team. Yeah. Slightly different financial bracket you got
to
be in.
Be pretty badass, though, to buy the women's soccer team, get the WNBA team, and then have the money and get the NBA team.
Dude, they'd own the entire city.
You would.
That'd be pretty sweet.
You didn't see the Blazer news then?
No, I did not see the Blazer news. What happened? Fill me in, Bob.
Klinger.
Oh,
second team all rookie.
I mean, I did see it. How do you miss that? I mean, how do we miss that update? It's big news. Got to talk about it.
We might get that BYU kid. He was mocked to the Blazers.
Is that the
Igor?
Igor Denim? Denim? Demon? What do we call this kid? What's his name? We got a demon coming our way. We got a D.
It'd be nice if we had a
Denim.
Demon.
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 D-E-M-I-N. That's dumb. Demon. Demon's way better. We're demon calling him Demon. Better, if we're getting him, we're calling him Demon. That's the rules. If you want to be drafted to Portland, we're going to call you Demon.
It kind of does feel like, and I know we've talked a little bit about some of these players.
What a dumb name.
Does it not just suit us to go get one of these young European players that look like Denny Avdia?
Yeah.
Yeah, that fits.
That or just
the,
fits
how
right
do you say the point
wheelhouse.
Guard from Illinois' name? How do you say
That's
that?
That's what we were trying to look up.
Yeah, how do you say that cat's name?
Jakachonis?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Kasparis Jakachonis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm saying that right.
That guy would fit.
I mean, he's been mocked to us as well.
He's in that range that could go 11th overall.
Right now, there's like four players, it feels like. It's Cedric Coward. Feels like it's Carter
Queen.
Bryant.
I've seen Queen.
I think Queen's going to go a little higher.
Ooh, but I think he goes before 11.
If you want to throw it in there, we can put Queen in there. And then the two, the Euros, Illinois and BYU specials.
Since we're on the Blazer hype train right now, and I did see I did see the Klingon one second rookie team, which he had a good year, man. Like, for what we expected coming in, he should have played more. That was
dumb. You thought he had a good rookie year?
I mean, I thought he was fine. Based on my expectations coming in, I wish that he would have played more than 7 minutes a game for the first 2 months of the year. But, you know, we had three centers on our roster, so that made a lot of sense. It was nice in the back half of the year when they stretched him out a little bit. And in shocking development, he did not collapse and die. He's still with us, and he will be on the roster again next season.
Mm.
There was a listener, Andrew, who tagged me in a tweet that the Blazers had the other day. Did you see their Jeremy Grant appreciation post the other day?
Sure didn't.
Okay, so they put out, I don't know if they're doing these for all their players at the end of the year, or like, hey, you know, great season, here are your highlights. And Jeremy Grant, notably, did not have a very good year for the Portland Trail Blazers this year. And so they have this graphic, JG by the numbers. And Andrew tweeted me, he said, hey, looks like we're trying to build up his trade stock in the offseason. There are two notes that they pointed out of, like, these are the sticking points of Jeremy Grant's season. It reads, quote, both of his career-high 8 3-point games came this season, October 25th versus New Orleans, December 13th versus Sacramento. And did you also know, bullet point number two, he scored 22 points in the third quarter on December 13th versus San Antonio Spurs. That's a new career high for any quarter.
Well, I hate to say this, but I would bet a large sum of money that people don't do tweets to boost value.
You don't think that's how we trade in value? That's how we're adding value here?
Teams don't operate in the sphere of, wait, I need to see it on Twitter.
This should have been
I'm
a direction
trading.
From Jody. That's how involved Jody is. She's telling the social media team to put up good numbers for Jeremy Grant and not make people go look at what his 3-point percentage was.
What? Give me your prediction of Klinger year two. Let's do this right now in May.
Ooh, like in overall minutes? What are we talking? Or numbers? Is that what were you saying?
27.5 minutes per game.
Let me look up his numbers here.
I'm going to say 12 points, 10 boards.
I mean, we're going to have three centers on the roster again next year.
2.5 blocks.
Two blocks.
So his numbers this year, 6.5 points, 7.9 rebounds, 1.6 blocks per game.
Yeah.
He played 19.8
minutes. 27.5
minutes,
12 points, 10 boards.
27.5 minutes. That's
two
a big
blocks.
Jump. Wow. Is Robert Williams gone?
I mean, I'll just say this. You say that's a big jump. I mean, yeah.
I mean, it shouldn't be a big jump, but is Robert Williams still here?
I don't know.
But if he is he going to play more than 10 games?
If he is not conditioned and in shape to play 27 minutes to start next year, they need to have internally a real conversation of, are they identifying the right personality types? Because everything about Klingon said he is the right type, right? He's a dog. He's from UConn.
I thought he held up well in the back half of the year when he played that many minutes.
I agree with that. But Shaden, that hasn't improved every year the way we've hoped.
No.
Scoot technically did, but you still don't feel amazing about it. They need guys that when they pick them, they're improving and taking those leaps. and two of their last three picks haven't done that. So I want to see Klingon get to that point. It does seem like a leap, but I think his minutes per game is down because of where he started versus where he ended.
When you look at the last 2 months of the year, March and April, April obviously
what
not
he averaged
a full
in
month,
the last two.
And March, which was a full month, he averaged over 25 minutes per game.
27 is not asking a lot.
Shockingly, he's still alive. And then in the month of April, in which they play, what, maybe 10 games, give or take, somewhere in that range,
right.
he averaged 28 minutes per game.
Yeah.
And he averaged 10 and 11 a game.
I want to see it 27 and a half for the full season or more.
Pretty remarkable what happens when you actually play him. He's actually averaging a double-double. It's pretty cool.
I don't expect him to be all-world. I expect him to be a good center, and I'll just tell you, I don't know who they're going to pick with the 11th pick. We have a lot of time to figure some of that stuff out.
Yes, we do.
But I am watching the playoffs, and I'm like, man, it'd be really nice if we had one of the teams in this thing. It'd be really nice.
Yeah.
I'd like to not talk about draft prospects at this point
be
next kinda year.
Be kind of cool, you know? Like, hey, well, how's game two of the Western Conference Finals going to go tomorrow? It'd be a much more entertaining conversation.
Just give me round one, baby.
Then
just
listeners
give me round one.
Tagging me in Jeremy Grant tweets, making fun of the things that they point out as the highlight of his year. I mean, yeah, if he's not averaging 27 minutes per game next year, you got a problem. And I don't think it's a Klingon problem because, again, he clearly showed that he could do it. It's a Blazer problem. Get rid of the logjam at his position. You don't need three centers. They should have traded Robert Williams the second they acquired him because the guy can't stay healthy. And if he's still on the roster next year, you're going to try and build up the trade piece again, and you're going to have to play him, show that he's healthy. It's going to create a weird conundrum. Trade his ass. Let Klingon play the backup center minutes.
Let's pivot back into football. Then we'll pivot back into basketball for the Eastern Conference Finals, and then we'll pivot into a little baseball stuff, and then we'll pivot into Stat or Story. A lot of pivoting happening here on the program. Sam Monson, been covering the NFL a very long time, a good friend of the show. He joins us for the Daily Ticker next on The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that?
Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing, independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Discover even more flavors from your local coast with Pelican's new craft sodas. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time here on a Wednesday, brought to you as always by our great friends at Pelican Brewing Company. They invite you to take a beach break at one of their four coastal locations, Cannon Beach, Tillamook, Pacific City, and the newest location at the south end of Lincoln City, overlooking Siletz Bay. Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach. Let's talk some NFL football with our good friend, Sam Monson. You can go give him a follow on Twitter, at Sam Monson NFL, co-host of the Check the Mic podcast. Sam, good morning to you. Everybody has to have a take. Overpaid, underpaid, fair, unfair. Brock Purdy, the last pick in the draft, finally gets his deal from San Francisco. You see the numbers, more details trickling out. What's your reaction to the Niner quarterback getting paid?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty fair deal from both sides. The 49ers, you know, I think you can look at that and say they got him under market value relative to some of the other contracts that have been signed in the last couple of years, or at least, you know, got a fair reflection of the fact that he probably isn't an elite top tier quarterback. And there is some heavy lifting being done by the supporting cast and by the scheme and those kinds of things. But there's nuance to this as well. That doesn't mean Brock Purdy is simply a product of the offense and anybody could do what Brock Purdy has done over the last few years. We know that isn't true. You know, we've seen other quarterbacks within that offense, and all of them get elevated by Kyle Shanahan, but not all of them do what Brock Purdy has been able to do since he came into the league. So I think it's a fair deal that, you know, reflects that Brock Purdy is important to this offense, but that he also needs some help.
He's a polarizing player, polarizing contract. I'm curious, what is Sam Monson learning by the contract at that position about what teams are choosing to do? And what do you make of the noise of him getting paid and people that are against it?
Well, for years, there was no nuance at all in NFL quarterback contracts. It was just whoever the next guy that was coming up was became the best paid quarterback in the NFL. And it was kind of a binary thing. Either you become the next best paid quarterback in the NFL or you're not really getting the contract at all and the team is moving on from you. Now I think you're starting to see these sort of tiers of contracts develop. You're starting to finally get this middle class quarterback contract, and maybe now even an upper middle class quarterback contract as well as a sort of variety of ways of structuring those contracts. I mean, you know, Patrick Mahomes now looks like one of the cheapest quarterback deals in football, right? But he signed a $500 million deal when he did his deal. It was just such an unusual structure. But, you know, now you're starting to see guys like Brock Purdy, Jared Goff, these guys that are good quarterbacks, but probably not in the elite category. They're getting a tick below, you know, the top tier money, the $55 million a year kind of bracket in terms of average per year. And then you're getting guys like, you know, Baker Mayfield, Geno Smith, Sam Darnold. They are at that much lower level of, with that recognition that, you know, those guys can be good starters. They can absolutely go on a run. They can play very good football, Pro Bowl caliber. But again, they're not at the Josh Allen, you know, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes type of level. So I think we're starting to see some much more nuance when it comes to quarterback contracts.
Yeah, we're talking with Sam Monson, our good friend, NFL analyst, the co-host of the Check the Mic podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at Sam Monson NFL. Last one on the 49ers, and I can kind of widen the scope a little bit too. I think this will be a year for them where if you're anti-Purdy in the contract or pro-Purdy in the contract, you're going to have a kind of point at the end of the season to say, see, I told you so, whether that's they surprise some people have a good year or a lot of people predicting this is going to be a down year for them based on the offseason that they've had. So first part of it is just kind of where are you at on San Francisco based on their offseason? And then looking at the rest of the NFC West, you get Stafford back in L.A. Arizona, I feel like it's just always Arizona. And then Seattle changes quarterbacks. I'm wondering how you view that entire division going into the year.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be a good division. I expect Arizona to be better with the changes that they've made. Seattle is a real wild card because of the changes that they went through, moving on from Geno Smith, bringing in Sam Darnold. We don't even know what that's going to look like based off what Sam Darnold did a year ago. 15 games of like Pro Bowl to All Pro level play, and then two games where he looked like seeing ghost Sam Darnold again, you know, throwback all the way back to his first seasons with the Jets. I have no earthly idea what that's going to look like going forward. I think the broad range of outcomes for Darnold is pretty spectacular. And then I think the Rams should be very good. They upgraded on a team that honestly was pretty close a year ago. I mean, the Rams gave the Eagles the best game of anybody in the playoffs. They were only a drive or two away from shocking them in that postseason performance. And if they'd won that game, you know, they'd have been favored, I think, in the NFC Championship game, and maybe they'd have been the Super Bowl team. So the Rams, I think, will be real forces as well. The 49ers, that offense is still in very good shape. You know, they've made the restructures. They've moved people around. They've moved on from a Debo Samuel to free up the money for a Brock Purdy contract, and they're still left with Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey and Trent Williams and, you know, Juwan Jennings showed that he's capable of much more than they've asked from him in the past. Last year, Ricky Pearsall didn't feature that much as a rookie after getting shot before he even took the field. So you would assume he would have a much bigger role this year. That offense can still do real damage. The key is now the defense has basically been left to rookie contracts and Fred Warner, you know, and Nick Bosa. But they need that group that they drafted this year to actually do something as rookies. Otherwise, the defense could be a real problem area for the 49ers. Hmm.
It's a pretty big note there. He got shot. He still played football. It's absolutely nuts. What are the Bengals doing? Could you walk me through that?
I mean, I think the Bengals are doing what they usually do, which is they're just being a bit cheap. You know, like they've dragged all these contracts out maybe longer than they needed to. I was kind of surprised that they fronted up with the money for both T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, but they did. They found a way to get that done, and now Trey Hendrickson wants his money, and that's where they're choosing to cheapen out and say, well, what about you just take less than that and be happy about it, you know? And you can't, ultimately, you can't really do that. Trey Hendrickson's been, number one, their best defensive player. Number two, one of the best pass rushers in the NFL over the last few years. He is due a pay increase, and he deserves it. So, you know, the Bengals, it's not just that they act cheap sometimes. It's the way they go about the negotiations seems to piss people off. You know, they don't just sort of, everyone knows that football is a business and there's give and take and there's negotiations to be done. But there's a way of negotiating where you're not sort of actively demeaning your opponent opposite the other end of the negotiating table, who also happens to be your player. You know, like it doesn't help anybody if you sort of make it out like, you know, you're in the right and he's basically insulting you to even consider that he's worth more money than that. So yeah, it's tough. Like they need Trey Hendrickson in the building, and the way they're going about it right now is not moving towards that as an eventual outcome.
Well, Sam, it's not just him. They can't reach an agreement with their rookie edge rusher as well. Like, it's just, I just find the whole thing very odd, especially when you have that quarterback and that receiver.
Yeah, I mean, that part is sort of more of a, again, this is, the Bengals are definitely a team that tends to draw these weird lines in the sand contractually. But, you know, rookies, you get a couple of teams every year where they hold out a bit longer. The Bengals' problem there is not so much that they haven't got him signed. It's that they don't have the same kind of guarantees in place that other teams do, whereby if he, you know, went to rookie minicamps, worked out and got hurt, they're not guaranteeing his money the way other teams will. So that is their problem as more than the fact that they haven't actually got him under contract yet.
Last one for you, Sam. Are you pro the idea to change the playoff formatting? I know the Lions have pulled that proposal today, so it won't happen, but it's not going to go away for the NFL. So is Sam Monson pro or anti that? And it does sound like there's growing momentum to get rid of the tush push, at least as we know it. How does Sam Monson feel about two potential rule changes?
The playoff one, I can't find it within me to care either way. I'm one of the few people that doesn't seem to have a problem with the current situation. Like, yeah, sometimes you end up in a spot where a team with more wins as a wild card has to go on the road to a playoff team with fewer wins, and I don't really care about that. If they're better, they should win the game. What are we complaining about? Like, home field advantage is not what it used to be. Vegas isn't giving you 3 points anymore for having to go on the road, so... You know, front up and beat the worst team. Like, deal with it. Equally, if it did change, I don't think I'd care too much about that either. It probably is a better way of doing it. And you would remove those occasions where, you know, a team like Minnesota has to go on the road to a team like the Rams. But, you know, I don't think either one of those things are massive glaring problems with the league as it currently stands. And the push play, again, I don't really have a problem with it. Like, it's being framed, I think, incorrectly, right? The people that don't like the push play are coming up with a bunch of straw man arguments to get it banned, right? Green Bay's proposal was an absolute joke when you read what it was. They were against it for like three different reasons, none of which have any merit to them whatsoever. If you don't like the push play, the reason for not liking it is simply because you don't like the push play. And that's why we want to take it out of the game. And we believe that there's some inherent unfairness to being able to push the runner, but not being able to push, you know, a linebacker at the other end to offset that. And that's right. The only reason. It's like, we don't like this play, and we've decided there is a way of banning it without fundamentally changing the game. But you're not banning it because of player safety. You're not banning it because of, you know, play speed or whatever the Packers were talking about. You're not, like, none of that stuff is a valid argument. You're just banning it because you don't like the play.
It's so spot on. I am anti-tush push. And if you ask me why I'm anti-tush push, I don't like it. I don't try and come up with different reasons and excuses.
Body's slowly moving everywhere.
I don't want to see it. You know, Sam Monson, he is the co-host of the Check the Mic podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at Sam Monson NFL, one of our favorites. We always love catching up with you, Sam. Thanks for the time this morning, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Anytime. Take it easy, guys.
There you go. Sam Monson talking some NFL football.
Bengals being the Bungles.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, man. That's a weird one where you got the money to pay the wide receivers. You get it done. You surprise everybody because of your historically cheap nature. And you're like, whoa, they actually did what I didn't think that they would do. And now they won't give their first round pick a contract, and they won't sign the guy who led the NFL in sacks last year when their defense was atrocious.
Right.
The Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
Never going to change. We've got some other NFL notes I want to get to coming up next. The Daily Ticker, as always, brought to you by our wonderful friends at Pelican Brewing Company. It's going to be great weather this weekend. Have you guys seen the forecast? Have you checked the forecast?
Well, the forecast at the beginning of the week was suddenly rain.
Oh, we're turning around,
and then
baby.
It shifted again.
We're turning around. It's a great weekend to be at the beach. Oh. They got four coastal locations, Cannon Beach, Tillamook, Pacific City, and the newest location on the south end of Lincoln City overlooking Siletz Bay. Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach. Some NFL news and notes I'm going to get to next. I'm going to talk some baseball stuff coming up top of the hour. We still got to get to the conference finals, and of course, Statter story around the corner at 8:15. NFL next on The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, with memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. You can find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com. I'm going to talk some baseball stuff coming up top of the hour. Does that tickle your fancy?
Where are you at right now on your lifting?
Making PRs day by day.
Let's take the shirt off. Let's see the progress.
You want to see my pecs? I'm going to check out my chest, my traps, my lats.
I've learned
what
having
to see? My tries and my
three
buys.
Women in my house that they don't call them pecs. They're called boobs. I have boobs.
You got boobs over there?
Yeah.
I want to talk a couple of NFL notes. Can we all make fun of Chip Kelly for being the thief of joy? Do you know Chip Kelly's now the offense coordinator of the Las Vegas Raiders?
I'm well aware. You know, Sean Mannion's the quarterback coach in Green Bay.
I read a great article yesterday on him. I did not realize that. I missed that headline when it happened over the offseason, and it was a great dive into his background in football and being, you know, he said he felt like he was going to be a coach at the age of 7. Really cool. He's a Packers quarterback coach.
Well, he grew up with his dad as a coach, obviously, right? Obviously, played under some pretty good coaches in Mike Riley.
What if Sean Mannion becomes the next big coach in the NFL?
I don't know if it's going to be the NFL or college, but I don't think at this point you'd need to be surprised. What I would just have is a lot of regret. I saw Sean Mannion like last year at the Happy Valley Food Court. He sat right next to me. I wish I would have known his journey.
You say, what's up, Sean?
No.
How's things in Lambeau?
He was one of the worst athletes I had to interview. Like, not even close.
That boring and bland, huh?
Not loquacious, that's for certain. Sure.
Sean Mannion, not his strength.
Good off the record, more willing to maybe talk a little more. Yeah,
chop it up a little bit behind the scenes.
Absolutely. You put a camera in front of that man, oh my God.
Still can't believe they put him back in against the Huskies.
What was your segment?
Even that, like, even as a non-fan, watching from afar. Without a rooting, well, I guess like, no, I didn't really have a rooting interest in that.
That was in 2012. It's 2025. Why don't you move on? What's your segment?
Why would you bring, you had Vaz cook. Vaz was cooking with gas, man. Why'd you take him out? Undefeated season. What were they, 7-0 or 8-0 at that point in the year?
Just spewing fire and hate towards everybody today.
Our breakfast burritos are here.
Oh, let me go get them.
40 seconds.
Go get your burritos.
I got a countdown clock, I guess.
Why don't you go pick up your burrito over there, all right? No, I saw this yesterday. Chip Kelly, now the offensive coordinator of the Las Vegas Raiders.
I thought Chip Kelly suspended LeGarrette Blunt for the full season for punching a white kid in Boise.
That was a fair suspension.
Fair suspension.
Almost the entire year. We'll bring him back. Second half, last game.
10.5 games.
That's all he needed. You don't need it. Who needs a full 11-game suspension? Come on.
Is this the Halloween stance?
This is the Halloween stance, dude.
I was bummed by this.
Ashton Gentry, look, I'm excited to watch him in the NFL. I don't know how I feel overall about taking running backs in the top 10 in the NFL draft. He's one that I'm willing to be like, yeah, dude, I'd roll the dice on that.
Of all the things the Raiders needed, you were like,
I don't know if that's
of
all they needed. He's like, you can't tackle that guy. I watched my team try and tackle that guy. I watched college teams try and tackle that guy. He was robbed of winning a Heisman Trophy. Ashton Gentry, I'm all in on him. One of the coolest things about him is his pre-snap stance in the backfield, where he just kind of stands straight up, and people have connected him to Michael Myers and basically calling it the Halloween stance, and Chip Kelly is telling him in his rookie year in the NFL that he has to change his stance.
Yeah, I heard him say this to Kay Adams, where he basically was like, yeah, coach is saying I got to change it up. I can't be in the Halloween Mike Myers stance.
Two thumbs down.
I don't know how to feel. As we get closer and closer to the camps, I'm excited to watch him play. He was so much fun to watch. In college, the thing about him that I find kind of interesting is, I guess admittedly I knew he wasn't the biggest dude, but how much smaller he's gonna look in the NFL versus how he looked in college.
In terms of height, he's well built, but he's small.
Yeah, so like, is there a chance this is a Marion Barber situation?
Who are you going Marion Barber on him? One of the greatest 2-yard runs in the history of the NFL. He's 5'8", by the way.
Yeah, he's tiny. I mean, he is tiny. In the NFL. So I have higher hopes for Marion Barber, and I don't think you take the guy. What was he, sixth overall?
Sixth overall, I believe.
You're not drafting Marion Barber sixth overall, so he better damn well be better than him.
He better be a stud.
But the way he runs versus his size, I'm just like, is he just going to be a guy who levels hits, but maybe can't go as much as we thought?
That's why it's a debatable thing
to take a running back.
I get it. I mean, I understand why it's a debate. I have no clue how he's going to be in the NFL. I also think there is a benefit at times of being that undersized, because you can't see him, man. Like, what's the average size of the Raiders' offensive line? What are we willing to guess on that? I know Jackson Powers Johnson's their center. He's not the tallest dude in the world, but he's well built. But like, what's the average height of the NFL line?
6'5".
Like, they're big ass dudes, man. This guy's a foot smaller.
Oh no, he's going to be able.
Like,
to
you're
lead
not
going to
be
way.
Able to see him. He's just a tiny little guy back there.
I have higher hopes for him.
He can stiff arm you, run you over, break a tackle. I don't know. I'm excited to watch him. Nobody has any clue how running backs will do, let alone guys taken in the top 10. That's a big expectation to put on a guy.
I'm more curious about Chip Kelly.
Dude, screw Chip Kelly for making him change his stance. This is dumb.
Well, I totally get it from a coaching angle.
Guy's done this his entire career. He's been pretty successful, and now you're going to get him to the NFL and be like, no, we need your dad. It's not athletic enough.
Is he going to have him in a three-point stance? Could you imagine a 5'8 running back in the backfield in a three-point stance?
Whenever Teddy's walking now, he's moving and grooving. But sometimes, you know, you get the stumbles, the falls, the arms go down.
Sure.
It's quite a lot of three-point stances, you know, working on his balance. And every time he does, I give him a blue 32, blue 32. Get the cadence going.
I just think it's a, you know, the Raiders are not in anybody's, like, hey, the Raiders are going to make the playoffs.
Look out for the Raiders.
I don't think that's a thing for people.
Not because of the division they play in.
Well, it's the division, but also, you know, what is Pete Carroll at this point? He was out the game for, what, a year?
Yes, he was.
Slightly older, didn't end well in Seattle with how he wanted it. Now you got Chip Kelly back in the NFL.
He's got his quarterback back from Seattle.
Yeah, so there's just a lot of questions about the Raiders that I'm so curious to kind of see it. Are they just going to be more fun to watch? God, they were bad last year.
And not entertaining. Not entertaining to watch. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships are as low as $9.99 a month. You can find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com. These guys are about to pound a couple breakfast burritos during the commercial break. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Status stories coming up at 8:15. Eastern Conference Finals tips off. We'll talk about that in the garden. I want to start, though, with some baseball notes. What the hell happened to this player? We'll begin there next on The Fan.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new Spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest, it hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.